Stand by for the Terry Saul Show in 5, roll tape, 4, cue Terry, 3, bring audio up, 2, stand by, 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. The next time you plan an event, think of the Queen. And by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance.
Well, good morning, and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. And today our guest is Jason Greenwood from Divine Distillers, the essence of flavor, right, Jason?
Here it would be the essence of Willamette Valley flavors.
You didn't get the memo about correcting the host, did you?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so it's not the essence. I always say the essence of flavor when I do the weather. Am I wrong?
Well, we are the essence of flavor, but we try to do Willamette Valley flavor. Because we do most of Willamette Valley fruits.
All right, tell me your background. Are you from the Willamette Valley here? Or?
My wife and I moved here with our two children 9 years ago in 2010.
Where'd you come from?
Before that, we lived just outside New York City in Ossining,
really?
New York, where Sing Sing Prison is.
You're going to be somewhere, right?
Well, as long as we weren't inside the prison,
there
we were good.
Go. Did you like New York?
We really did like New York. We didn't like the crowds and we didn't like the commutes that we both had, but we were very happy with the ability to fly everywhere. We loved the food experiences and we loved the eclecticness of the...
Upstate New York has got to be one of the most beautiful areas, I think, in the whole country, don't you think?
I would agree, but since we were right outside of New York City, we were technically upstate as far as anyone in New York City was concerned, but we were really technically in southern New York.
Yeah. It's beautiful country though. I've gone there a few times. I went there one time when I was doing a show. My mom had told me, she says, stay out of the subway, son. And so we came out of Madison Square Garden after a show, and I saw a subway right there. I go, I got to go see a subway. So I ran down the stairs of the subway, and I got down the bottom of the stairs, and I look around, and there's a guy standing on the right side there just staring at me, another guy on the left side, another guy laying down. I thought, okay, I think I've seen enough. Shot right back up.
Well, you're lucky you didn't see any of the rats. They're bigger than you.
A lot of rats in New York, huh?
A lot of rats in New York, subway rats.
All right. How long were you in New York?
We were in New York for overall in our entire lives about 12 years. We were there for a span of 2 years beforehand and then a span of 10 years right before we came here.
To go from New York to Salem, Oregon, I mean, that's not only 3,000 miles, but that's quite a jump.
It is quite a jump.
How'd you end up coming here?
We were looking to move to the Pacific Northwest, and my wife got a job in with the state of Oregon, and we wanted to move somewhere where there were fewer people,
less rats.
Well, actually, I think there's more rats here, but you don't see them as often.
They just work here.
The weather and the nature out in the Pacific Northwest is more akin to our style of life.
Yeah. So, how long have you been here now?
We moved in 2010.
Okay, so you've been here for almost 10 years then.
Yes.
Yeah. You love it.
I absolutely love it. We love Salem. We were a little hesitant about moving to a small town before we moved out here.
Oh, from New York City? Yeah,
we were thinking that Portland would be okay, but we are so much happier to live in Salem than we would be in Portland. My mother-in-law lives in Portland, and we are ecstatic about living in Salem versus Portland.
We did that in, 1990. Came up here for a funeral. We live in California, from the Bay Area. Came for a funeral. And I'm sitting here looking at my cousin who had passed away at the cemetery on these rolling hills. And I'm just going, man, this is a beautiful country up here. And my mom was right next to me. She goes, shut up. You're at a funeral. Try to be sad. And I go, well, yeah, but look at this. It's beautiful. And I went back home and I told my wife about it. We came up here for a long weekend and never looked back.
Yeah, that's what Oregon does to you.
Yeah. So you're into, what are you into now? What is Divine Distillers? What is that?
So we are Salem, Oregon's very first distillery. We're also the only one at the moment. And we make distilled spirits from the fruits.
What is a distilled spirit?
A distilled spirit is a fermented liquid that has been boiled to the point where the alcohol has boiled off. And we're basically talking rums, tequilas, vodkas, gins.
Good stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
40% alcohol.
Yeah. How did you get into that?
Well, that's an interesting story. We started off in our house. We've neighbors, and we had a kegerator.
A kegerator?
A kegerator.
You're talking to an idiot here, so keep that in mind. What is a kegerator?
So a kegerator,
like
for
a
those for the one person here in this city who doesn't know what a kegerator
that's me.
That would be you. we have kegs of beer in refrigerators. So we took a refrigerator and converted it so that it would have beer in it, and then we would have taps on the outside. You know, my wife and I and three of our neighbors bought two kegerators and, well, two refrigerators and converted them to kegerators.
I have one. My refrigerator is full of beer.
Yes, but it's not in a keg.
Okay. So, all right. So there's one for you then.
So right. we just really enjoyed having fresh beer out of kegs, and the whole all four families, all eight adults, were loving having the beers, and our children were enjoying hanging out with the parents. They didn't have anything for themselves, so we decided that we would I actually talked to the kids, and we decided to make club soda. Okay. We figured out how to make club soda, so we took one of the kegs out. We started making club soda, and then the children started asking about how to make Cokes and other sodas. So we had a 7-Up version, a Coke version. We had some cherry colas. We had a whole bunch of different flavors. And my daughter asked me about making ginger, having a ginger ale, and that is basically where we started, because I figured out that there's no way that all these islands in the south in the Caribbean could make their own ginger beer, and I couldn't. So I learned how to make ginger beer.
Okay, where do you go to learn how to do that? Is there a school you go to? Do you just
Google?
That's the best school around.
That is the best school around. Google and YouTube, and I learned. There's tons of instructions on how to make ginger beer, and I was reading the instructions. And one of the instructions, as you're going down the list, says, if you leave it too long fermenting, then you'll start becoming kind of acidic, and it will start becoming alcoholic, and that's not what you want. At which point, my brain goes back to, wait, hold on, what? That's how you make alcohol? And I decided, well, I'm going to try and see if I can make ginger beer and have alcoholic ginger beer. And that's where all of this started. We went from ginger beer to cider to wine. And at some point, my wife turns around and asks me, well, how much harder is it to make rum? And I made my first batch of rum, and the rest is history.
So is this legal? Is it legal?
So it is legal to make 100 gallons a year of alcoholic beverage, fermented alcoholic beverage.
But it has to be for your own consumption.
For your own consumption.
Okay.
So you can make 100 gallons a year of wine or beer. And if you're a couple, you can make 100 gallons each. So that's, you know, for every adult in your household, you can make 100 gallons.
So we go over to your house there. You're always going to have something for me to drink.
Pretty much, yes.
Okay. When would you like me over?
Whenever you want to come over. So, I'll give you all the experiments. See if you survive.
And that was one of my next questions. I mean, obviously, you're not going to make the perfect batch the first time out.
We still don't make the perfect batch. We make very good batches. We still don't make the perfect batch.
How often are you making batches?
I make alcohol every single day of my life right now.
Do you really?
I do.
How long does it take?
It really depends on the product. Some products, like our rum, take 3 to 7 days from start to finish. And other products, like our apple brandy, take over 6 months.
What kind of facility do you have?
So one of the things that is kind of cool is fermenting liquid, you're allowed to make 100 gallons per person per year.
Okay.
But distilled liquid, you make one drop and it's federally illegal. So the federal law for distilled spirits is left over from Prohibition, and you're not allowed to distill any alcohol at all. When you do that, you need to have a license. In order to have a license, you need to request one from the federal government, and you need to have your own location, and you need to pay rent, and it needs to be all set up under a distiller's permit. So what we did is my wife and I made an investment to have a rental space. We rented 469 square feet. We bought a still, and we gave a certain amount of money and said, okay, we're going to invest this into see if this is a viable business for us.
So 400 square feet is not that big of a facility.
It's not much bigger than this room in here.
Okay. Now, I recently was in Colorado, had some time, so we went and took a tour through Coors Brewery there.
Yes.
And I'm watching it, and I mean, they've got these huge drums and tubs and this and that.
Yes.
I mean, that thing is blocks long.
It is.
How are you doing that in 400 square feet?
Well, so we did that. We started off with fermenting in 5-gallon pails, and we were initially fermenting 5 gallons at a time, which would produce about 1 liter of alcohol at a time. Okay. From there, we started going into 26-gallon batches, and we were doing 26-gallon batches, and that was producing about 2 or 3 gallons of distilled spirit, and we are currently doing over 500 gallons a day.
So you obviously have somebody working there with for you? Or
my wife and I.
Just the two of you.
We have a couple of employees who've helped us out, but the ones who produce all the alcohol are my wife and I.
Now, do you taste?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All day, every day.
And then do you look at her and go, nah, it doesn't quite have it right.
There's a lot of that. We have either thrown away or tried again many, many times throughout this experience.
Throw it away?
Well, so legally you have to throw it away. The federal government has very strict guidelines on how you dispose of alcohol. And either we follow those guidelines down to a T or we get really, really close. We're trying to make sure that we are right on.
How often are you inspected regularly? How often do people, the government, know what you're doing?
It's not that often that you get inspected, but you get audited on a regular basis.
So do I.
But
that's a whole other story.
That's a completely different story. And I'll tell you what, I would prefer to be audited by the IRS than by the TTB. I have had both, and I would much rather be audited by the IRS than the Tobacco and Trade Bureau.
My mother always told me, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything, so I won't say anything about the IRS.
I,
Mum is the word there.
The only nice thing I can say about the IRS
be
is
be nice. This is my radio show, man.
I would rather have them than the TTB audit me.
Actually, the IRS is okay. It's the Department of Revenue that it's a whole other story. Anyhow, let's not get into that because I'll get more trouble than I'm already in. So this is pretty exciting. Then, and you do this in your house?
No. We have a place that we've rented. Like I said, we started off with 469 square feet. We are currently sitting at 2,500 square feet.
Oh, so you've upgraded.
We've upgraded several times. We've only been in business for 2 years. Actually, 2 years yesterday. And that's when we incorporated. And then we have moved 4 times so far since we started.
Wow.
And every time we move, we need to fill out federal paperwork and state paperwork.
Why is that?
Because it's federally regulated. So you need to do all this federal and state paperwork. And then we've got one more move left. We're moving to a facility that we've now bought in South Salem. And that facility is 15,000 square feet.
Wow.
So we will have been, you know, 20 times our initial size already, and we will move to close to 100 times our initial size.
This has only been in a couple of years.
Less than 2 years.
That's fantastic.
So it's 2 years to the day since we incorporated, and it's a year and a half to the day since we opened our doors to the public.
Now, obviously you can sell this alcohol or the spirits to the general public?
Yep. That's part of your licensing issue. So when the federal government gives you a license, it gives you a license to sell, and then in the state of Oregon, the OLCC has to give you a license. So first you get the federal license, and then you get the OLCC license.
And you're paying all of these folks their share too?
So neither of those requires money to start. They
really
require money to on a regular basis as you produce. So it makes it the financial barrier to entry is the entry of all the materials, which is extremely high. But there's no fees to get the license.
But it's
a very complicated process, and most people end up paying other people to do the paperwork. My wife and I did it ourselves.
Okay. Would you suggest that?
Hell no.
Really?
Yeah,
have somebody else do it for you.
Yeah, and I don't know if I can say that word but on the radio, but I would definitely
Well,
not.
A little late for that now, isn't it?
Well.
Well, we're gonna take a short break, and when we come back, more with today's special guest. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM, as well as 1220 AM KSLM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler and the Lule Group. We're talking Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. We'll be back in just a minute more with Jason Greenwood from Divine Distilleries, the essence of something else. I always say the essence of flavor, but he doesn't like that. What is it, the essence of?
Willamette Valley flavors.
The essence of Willamette Valley flavors. Back in just a moment.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
Welcome back to the Terry Saul Weekend Show. Today, our guest is Jason Greenwood from Divine Distillers.
Thank you very much. See, I
messed up the last time. I said distilleries, and it's not. It's distillers.
Yes.
What are we talking about?
I like to make alcohol.
Okay. And I like to drink alcohol. But
match made in heaven.
Does it sound like... I don't know. When we started talking a few minutes ago, I get the feeling that this is Mayberry RFD, and you're Otis, and you're making this stuff in the background there, and Sheriff Taylor is going to come along and bust you on this thing. This is all perfectly legit and legal, right?
This is all perfectly legit and legal, and we've spent a heck of a lot of time and effort making sure that we do this incredibly by the book and following all federal laws.
All right. So this is your full-time job. You don't have another job.
This is my full-time job.
You're not selling cars someplace.
Nope.
This is it.
This is my full-time job. About 3 months into the process, we decided that I would quit my job doing computer consulting and I would do this full-time.
Oh, great. My computer at home needs some help too, by the way.
I don't do those.
Okay. Neither do I. Why did you want to create Divine Distillers?
I talked a little bit about how we got started in fermenting, and then we made our first distillate, and I absolutely fell in love with the science and the background of how you make distillate, how you make distilled spirits. And when my wife and I were thinking about a name for our distillery, so that encapsulates why we wanted to start. We thought this might be a way of producing some really outstanding products that nobody else made. When my wife and I were talking about a name, our son's name is Dante. He's named after the 13th century Italian poet Dante Alighieri, who wrote the Divine Comedy, Hell, Purgatory, and Heaven. When we were looking for a name, one of us came up with the name Divine Distillers, and it just stuck. Never looked elsewhere. So that's why we came up with Divine Distillers.
When you know it's right, it's right.
Exactly. Distilling just takes this whole art of the science behind how you convert alcohol and make alcohol and hard spirits, and there's a lot of art behind it. There's a lot of science behind it. It just makes a great mesh. It works really well. It makes us very happy. And with the idea of Divine Distillers, we can do the same follow that Dante Alighieri did when he followed, his love that he went through. He went through hell, then purgatory, then heaven. And we do that with our spirits. Our spirits come off the still nice and hot. They're clear. They're crisp. They're still fiery. They give you a burn. Those are our inferno spirits. We take our spirits and we change them a little, add some flavors, and then those are our purgatory spirits. And then when we have a spirit that's been fiery and we age it and mellow it with some sort of wood, we call those our paradiso, our paradise or heaven spirits.
So how do you come up with the different flavors or the different, are you just sitting there, you and your wife, and going, hey, let's try this?
There's a lot of that. There's also a lot of the fact that, our very first 54 spirits, which is what we're looking at right now, those were pretty much set by the fact that we did all the fruits of the Willamette Valley. So our idea was, if the fruit grows in the Willamette Valley, then we want to make a spirit from it.
Do you have to go to different vineyards or someplace to get
your
stuff? I mean, I don't know. What do you call it?
Well, so the fruit liquor is brandy. If we make it out of pear, peach, plum, then it's pear, peach, plum, brandy.
Okay.
We take the fruit, we go out to the farms, we pick the fruit, we bring it back, we grind the fruit up, we ferment that fruit.
You do this yourself?
We do everything ourselves.
You pick it yourself?
I have picked a lot of it myself. I picked the cherries, the plums, the peaches, the apples, all myself for the first year. The second year, we picked only the pears and the apples, and we had farms that already had people who picked them.
Right.
And we will probably do less and less of the picking as time goes on and concentrate more on the distilling.
Sure, because you're getting bigger and bigger, and you got a lot of other things. What experiences have influenced your spirits?
So we've traveled all over the world. My wife and I have lived in Europe. We've traveled a lot throughout Asia. Her family is part Asian. I have family in South Africa. I have family all over. And we wanted to mix flavors that allow us to showcase our history and our past. So part of that is like our agave spirit, which is a tequila. I grew up in Mexico. And when we started this whole adventure, we said we must have an agave spirit and something that is representative of that. We have, and it has won tons of awards. It's a great product. When we started with our rums, one of the things we wanted to do was showcase rooibos tea, which is a South African bush tea. My mother is South African. My mom's whole side of their family is South African. And when we are doing our pear and apple brandies, we try and do them in the traditional French and Italian way of producing eau de vie, which is what we produce. So we've kind of tried to use all our history and all our past and our flavors to meld in all these different fruits, liquids that we've created. So, you know, it's just we both love a challenge. We both love going around and seeing different things. We love creating. Both of us are very creative spirits, but also both of us have science backgrounds. I did economics and political science and math, and my wife did math and biology. So for this is kind of letting us have our artistic spirit as well as our scientific spirit. And we use all of these things together to combine new flavors that nobody else has come up with.
When you and your wife go on vacation, it's vacation, but it's also a work too. It's like, hey, wait a minute. Why don't we try this when we get back home? And is there a lot of that going on?
There's some of that. Most of the time at the moment, we're still going from past experiences. Okay. But I will say that it's very nice to be able to take a vacation and be able to expense it because you're drinking.
Are you able to do that often?
Well, almost everywhere we go, we are trying out different distilleries. We're checking out new things that we're doing. It is a passion for both of us. We really enjoy the whole world of distilling, and we have opened up a whole new world to us. So, yes.
Now, what do your kids tell? They go to school a little. What do Johnny and they go into school? What does your dad do? Oh, my dad makes booze.
That's pretty much what they get to say. It's really kind of nice. We have our own business.
We need to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest. Today's show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler and the Lule Group, Lule's Car Condition. My good buddy Don Lule Holmes and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. Our guest today is Jason Greenwood from the Divine Distillers, and we'll be back in just a moment with more with Jason. Stick around. We're just getting warmed up.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
Welcome back. This is The Terry Saul Weekend Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and today we're talking with Jason Greenwood from Divine Distillers. Jason, we're talking about the fact that you got a brewery going on in your place, right?
Distillery.
It's distillery.
So we do brew, but only to...
Now, you just gave me a weird look. Do you not like being called a brewery?
We do not like being called a brewery.
Well,
we do not like being called a winery.
Really? You're a distillery?
We are a distillery.
What's the difference between a distillery and a brewery?
If I'm being kind, the answer...
Please, I need the job. Be kind.
So, no... Distilleries take all the work that breweries and wineries do, and after we've done the fermentation, the same exact process all the way through, then our work actually starts. So we do the same amount of work that breweries and wineries do, except for the aging and the getting old part, but the fermentation is the same. And then we turn around and distill it, and after we distill it, we start doing all that aging.
Okay,
so it's a lot more work.
Do you still make beer?
We technically don't. We make...
Can you?
We can make beer.
All right.
We can't sell it.
If I was to say, hey, Jason, make me a six-pack, start to finish, how long would it take you to make some beer?
Well, I would go next door to Saw and I would pour you a six pack and then come back and give it to you. That's how I would do it.
So it would take you about 10 minutes.
Yeah, about that long.
Okay.
But in general, we don't, as Divine Distillers, we don't make beer because we would rather work with our local breweries and take some of their beer and turn it into whiskey.
Now, the local breweries, do they like you or are you a competitor? Or?
We are not a competitor. We're a complimentary service. One of the things that we do is we take waste from our current community and turn it into yummy goodness.
Okay.
We buy from local farms. We buy from local breweries. We buy from local wineries and partner with them and take the stuff that they would normally throw away most of the time and turn it into alcohol.
So what are some of the ways that you impact our community?
Well, so we do almost everything local. So we buy from local farms. We give our waste to feedstock. We repurpose almost anything we can. We've bought our fermenters from other places that are going out of business. We bought our boiler from the YMCA before they imploded. We were working with a local creamery, TMK Creamery, to take their whey product their whey waste after they make cheese, and we turned that into vodka. So all these things, we're taking waste products that would hurt the environment and hurt the community and people have to pay for, we would take those, turn around, and turn them into a product that's viable for us.
Okay, so you're going to make some vodka. Do you bottle it? How does that work?
We do bottle the vodka,
so
yes.
So you've got to go out and buy bottles and labels and,
yep.
and you have to design the labels and stuff?
We've designed everything that we have from start to
really?
Screen to finish. Yep.
Do the machines bottle the vodka for you or the whiskey or
we
whatever?
We do almost all the bottling by hand. We have a
really?
Small little machine that pulls the liquid into each bottle, but each bottle gets put there by hand, and each bottle gets labeled by hand, and each bottle gets capped and put together by hand.
So how often are you – I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what your daily routine is. Do you sit down and say, okay, today we're going to make vodka, tomorrow we're going to do whiskey? I mean, how does that work?
So we go by our fermentation schedule. It really depends on when the ferment is done. We also go a lot by the seasons. So our fruit season from about mid-March, early April, all the way through November and December is all based on the fruit. In early spring, we're doing strawberries. In late fall, we're doing apples and pears. And in between there, we're doing watermelon, we're doing peaches, we're doing pears, we're doing plums,
all right,
cherries, whatever.
Let's talk about Kickstarter. You are expanding with a Kickstarter. What is a Kickstarter?
So we chose Kickstarter. Kickstarter is a crowdfunding site where the local community can help us purchase something so that we can grow. And we chose Kickstarter for a couple of reasons. One, it allows us to say, well, if we can't get enough funding, then we don't want to take some funding. We want to make sure that everyone in the community is involved. And our whole goal is to get our community to support us in this small project to make a better product. And Kickstarter, again, is a crowdfunding site. We decided to use them of all the different crowdfunding sites, mostly because of their ability to say, if we don't get full funding, then there's no point in us taking some money from people. We would rather get all the funding and have the community support us.
So do you have major sponsors?
We don't have any major sponsors. The largest sponsor we have is actually us and our parents. We've self-funded almost everything so far, and we have a lot of people in the community who come in, ask us, okay, how can we help? Is there anything that we can do? This would be the way that we would have an ability to help. We're not allowed, as a for-profit business, we're not allowed to take people coming in and helping us without paying them, so we can't do volunteer work. And this is about the only way that we can have people who care about us and care about our product to be able to help us.
So do you have employees?
We do have a couple of people who are helping us out. They're currently contract. Some of them will be turned into full-time employees when we move to our new location.
Right. How many hours a day are you putting in, you yourself?
I put in about 18 hours a day.
Do you really?
7 days a week.
And what do you do in your time off? Sleep?
Sometimes sleep. Sometimes hang out with the family, which I don't get to see very often.
Now, you mentioned a minute ago about the Kickstarter program. What do you want Kickstarter to help you do right now? What are you looking for?
So we started with a very tiny Kickstarter. We're trying to get help to buy or purchase a part to our still that will enable us to produce faster and will enable us to produce better spirits. People love the spirits that we produce, but we know we can do better. The parts that we're trying to buy for the still will help us produce a far better spirit. In addition to that, it will be a piece of art because I've designed it, and the still will be front and center to our tasting room, and it will have parts that no one has ever made. We've completely designed this from scratch, and it will be a beautiful piece of art that's constantly being used and run.
So you're building this yourself then?
I'm designing it
myself.
You're
designing it yourself.
Yes. I have a company in Florida, Still Dragons North America, who's done the building.
All right. And what does something like this run?
The whole still will be well over $100,000.
Really?
Yeah.
And they'll ship it out there, and then how long is it going to take you to get up and running?
Once we get the parts, it will probably take us 2 to 4 weeks to get that part, to get those parts installed and running.
Now, are you getting close to being able to, what's the time frame right now?
So we are looking at a December 26th time frame for ending the Kickstarter, and we are hoping to get there. We're just slightly over halfway. We're about 60% of our donations. We're asking for small donations. It doesn't really matter. And for each donation that you get kitsch. We get stuff that we have, from bottles to
swag.
Swag. Bottles, t-shirts, depending on how much you give. If you give enough, you can even get your own spirit named after yourself if that's what you choose.
So mine would be the Saltissimo spirit.
If you want one, it will cost you about $10,000.
We'll negotiate that later on. So that was my next question is that what the people that are donating, what are they getting out of this?
So there's for the small donations, what you're really getting is to be part of this, to be part of our group, be part of our wave. We have brought in something that Salem's never had, which is, a distillery, but we're also world renowned. We've only been around for 16 months. We've gotten 16 international medals.
Wow.
We've been named Rum Distiller of the Year for the United States, and we've been named Brandy Eau de Vie Distiller of the Year for Oregon.
By the end of the year, it should be up and running, you're thinking?
So we're hoping the Kickstarter is done December 26th. That's our last day for the Kickstarter. And then we will give the money to Still Dragons, and they will start building it. It will take about 3 to 4 months for them to build the parts, and we'll install it. So by the end of March or April, we'll have the whole still up and running full blown. And by then, we will also be in California and New York, and we will be selling to both those states.
Are you looking to expand to other areas?
We are absolutely looking to expand. Part of what my wife and I, having lived and been in all these other cities and all these other places in the world, we want to expand. We want to share our product with the world. We have products that are completely unique that nobody else in the world has. We want to be able to capitalize on that.
Can you do that? Can you sell to other states across state lines, or is there any?
There's a lot of federal paperwork that needs to be filled out, and there's a lot of each state requires their own set of paperwork, and we've finished all the paperwork for California. We are now legally live in California. By the end of February, we'll be legally live in New York.
Each state, you have to go through a whole set of hoops.
That's correct. It can take 3 to 6 months to get accepted by a state. You could probably do it faster, but we're in the middle of doing too many other things.
Why those two states, New York and California? Obviously, New York, because that's where you're from.
Well, we're not from there, but that we did live there. We have a lot of friends there.
Okay.
My dad lived in California for 30 years, and I have a lot of family there. My wife, Janelle, has a lot of family there. It's an easy market for us to get into because of acquaintances and knowing. And our next market, and we happen to be lucky about this, is Florida, where I grew up and went to high school. So I have all my high school friends are in Florida. Florida, New York, California, and Texas are the four biggest markets in the country, and we happen to know people in three of those.
Is there a state you didn't live?
I never lived in North Dakota or Nebraska.
Well, you know, it's cold there. There's a good reason for that.
That's very true.
So you can't sell internationally yet. Yet. What is your goal for that?
So we have a couple of people that we know in Europe, and we're going to look to move towards Europe, and we're going to look towards moving to Australia. Those are our first two places that we're going to go.
Why
to.
Why Australia?
For a couple of reasons. My uncle and his whole family live there, so that will make us give us a head start in where to go. And also, we know someone who's moving to Australia, and we're hoping to capitalize on her move to Australia, and she's fantastic.
How would you capitalize on somebody in another country?
She's looking to move, and we're looking to have someone represent us over there, and she's already very familiar with us.
So she can go to the different markets there and say, hey, this is what we can get out of Salem, Oregon?
Yep, that's correct.
And that's what you're doing with California, Texas, and Florida as well?
That's exactly what we're doing with all of those, yep.
Okay, so it pays to have contacts.
It pays to have contacts, and it has a lot of work to do.
Hey, we need to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting warmed up, and today's show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler, as well as the Lule Group, Lule's Car Condition, Don Lule Homes, Therese Lule, State Farm Insurance. We'll be back with our final few minutes in just a moment. Our guest today is Jason Greenwood from the Divine Distillers right here in Salem. Back in just a moment.
You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
Good morning. We are back with our final few minutes on the Terry Saul Weekend Show. Today's guest is Jason Greenwood from Divine Distillers. Jason, what are some innovations that people should or could be excited for?
Well, so we've got several new spirits coming out. We've got, like I mentioned before, we've got 54 spirits. We're hoping to have about over 100 spirits by the end of the year, by the end of next year. We'll be coming out with whiskey based on local beers from local breweries. We're coming up with gin and a vodka and several different vodkas. We'll also be coming out with a whole other line of spirits at the low end, and we'll be coming up with a whole other line of spirits at the very high end. So those are some things, but the big things that we have are we're looking to improve our spirits and get better spirits being made. Partly with what we're having with the Kickstarter, but also because we will be in our own location, we'll be able to devote a lot more time to the production of spirits as opposed to all the different ways that we're moving in so many different directions at the moment. When we can actually dedicate time to creating spirits, I guarantee that we'll have better spirits.
You mentioned your low end and high end. How do you compare with local prices around here?
So right now we're right at smack in the middle. We've priced almost everything that we have right around where Four Spirits and Deluxe Brewing have their spirit lines. Where Eastside Distilling has the vast majority of their spirits. I looked at other distillers in the area, and I wanted to aim for prices right in that frame so that we weren't completely out of touch. But we're also local, and all our products cost more. All our ingredients cost more to make, cost more to buy in order to make our product, and therefore we have to be on the slightly high end.
Are there other distillers here in the area?
We're the only ones in Salem. Okay. We're the only ones. The next closest is in Silverton. And then after that, we've got one in Albany.
My stomping ground, Silverton. So do you ever pick up the phone and call Silverton and say, hey, let's go have a beer and sit down and chat?
I would love to. I don't actually know them very well, but I do know some of the other distillers in the area. I'm very familiar and friends with the people at Spiritopia, with the people at Deluxe, and with several of the distillers in Portland.
Okay, so every now and then you guys may get together and chat?
Yep.
What is your favorite thing to make? What do you enjoy making the most?
I enjoy making almost everything, but it really depends on the mood. My heart is in tequila, in agave spirits. That's what I grew up drinking. That's what I've always had as the ultimate alcohol. But our Sangre de Diablo is a really fantastic spirit. It works really, really well, and it's a relatively simple product to make for us. And it speaks to my heritage being South African. And the apple brandy that we make is the heart of the Willamette Valley. So those three products really call to me and really speak to me and give me peace and joy.
How about your vodka? You like making vodka?
Our vodka, currently the one that we're making is based from whey, and it is a headache.
Why is that?
We could do a whole radio show just on the whey vodka. It is something that very few people in the world make, and it is incredibly difficult to make, and that's why. But it calls to me in a way of just being able to do something that's incredibly difficult, being able to do something that nobody else does, and it's probably the best and greatest impact to the environment, and it helps the environment in ways that nothing else does.
How does vodka help the environment?
Whey vodka does.
Okay, how does whey vodka help the environment?
So when cheesemakers make their cheese, whey is a byproduct, and it's a waste product that needs to be disposed of properly. So they need to pay money to get rid of the whey because whey is really bad for the environment. We can take the whey, ferment it, turn it into a fermented liquid, which still tastes really kind of gross and is bad for the environment, and then we will distill it. And once we distill that whey, the byproduct of our distillation is actually good for animal feed, and we have vodka. So it's actually, we are taking waste product from the cheese manufacturing process and turning it into feed for animals as well as alcohol for humans.
So you really have very little waste that you're really throwing away.
We virtually throw nothing away.
Who are some of your partners?
So my partners are, just a vast collection of farmers from Stevenson's Farms, Sunnyview Blueberry Farms, people who've helped us out and sold us either inexpensive fruit or helped us out. We've worked with Johan Vineyards. We've worked with TMK Creamery, Ratchet Brewery, Silver Falls Vineyards, Scenic Valley Farms, and Saw Brewery, all to create products mostly from their waste.
I don't know, we're getting a little bit low on time here, and I wanted to get in your information where people can get in contact with you, but a couple more quick questions. What makes your spirit so special?
Mostly they come from the Willamette Valley. We make all these different fruits. We choose a yeast specific to every fruit, so we work with about 45 different yeasts at the moment. We also are probably one of the few people who do such a wide variety of different aging techniques with different wood, and we have a rapid maturation process, which my wife and I are in the process of patenting to make spirits faster.
So if people wanted to get in contact with you, do you have a general store where they can come in and shop and buy your product?
We have a tasting room in North Salem at the moment, right next to Vagabond Brewing at 2195 Hyacinth Street. And we will be moving to South Salem on McGilchrist and 25th. There's a big building there where the lighting gallery is and the carpet one used to be. Mm-hmm. It's now going to be a hot wing place and a distillery.
Now, are you Facebook?
We are on Facebook. It's Divine Distillers on Facebook. We are on Instagram, and it's Divine Distillers on Instagram.
How about Twitter?
Twitter is just Divine Distiller.
No S.
No S because no S. It's too long for Twitter, for a Twitter name.
Is that the reason?
That is exactly the reason. Otherwise, we would have gone with Divine Distillers. And our website is www.divinedistillers.com.
Stayed up all night thinking that one, didn't you?
We did.
Yeah.
We did. It was really hard.
Yeah. All right. We still have a couple of minutes left. What else would you like to tell us about Divine Distillers?
So I just want to go back to, that whole story of where we come from and what we want to do. And one of the things that we want to do is be your guide, kind of like Dante was our guide through the world, through the afterlife. We want to be your guide through the spirit's world. So we want to take you on a journey, taking you from our Inferno spirits all the way to our Paradiso spirits, give you an essence of the flavors of the Willamette Valley, the essence of our history, and be able to experience all the richness that we can provide here in this world, and see how things can be reused and repurposed and recycled in ways that are yummy.
Where do you want to see Divine Distillers in 5 years?
I guess sold to multimillionaires. No.
Are you looking to get out of it?
No. I would actually.
Because you seem like you're having fun doing this.
I'm doing this. I'm having the time of my life. This is exactly what I want to be doing 50 years from now is distillation. And Divine Distillers is the heart and soul of what we do. And we make our product because we love making our product.
Is there a phone number people can get in contact with you if they have more information?
Yep. Our phone number is 971-328-0717.
And again, your website is Divine Distillers.
DivineDistillers.com. All right. And we are open Monday to Saturday, 1 to 6.
All right. Your phone number again is 971-328-0717. That's 971-328-0717. I've got 1,000 more questions to ask. Would you come back and do this again sometime?
I would love to come back. You guys have been awesome.
All right. Jason Greenwood from Divine Distillers. I got to do it. The essence of flavor.
Sorry, the essence of the Willamette Valley flavors.
Oh, yeah.
That's for a Willamette Valley.
That's right. But if you listen to my weather, it's the essence of flavor.
It is the essence of
flavor.
I like
saying that, too, on those weather. The essence of flavor.
I love that you guys say that. Thank
you. Jason, thank you, my friend, and we'll chat again.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
We are just about out of time for today's show. Remember, you can catch our show every Saturday at 10 a.m. and a replay Sundays at 11 a.m. here on Salem's original radio station, KSLM. A reminder, if you missed any of today's show or would like to hear any of my shows, you can always hear a podcast on our official KSLM website at www.kslm.news or on my official website at www.terrysaul.com. If you would like to drop me a note, I would love to hear from you. My email address is terry@kslm.news. We'll see you next time. Take care and be safe.
You've been listening to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM. Today's show is brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. The next time you plan an event, think of the Queen. And by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Holmes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance. That's a wrap. Thanks, everybody. Good show.
Bye, everybody.